Welcome back to the Two Guys Named Chris show. Lisa Lanier is our official attorney of this program. She's president of the Lanier Law Group. She is on with us. She joins us every week for Lawyer Up. Inside three legal cases, she'll solve them all. Lisa, hello and how are you?
Hey, good morning. I'm fantastic. I hope you guys are.
Doing very well. Thank you. We had a long discussion about this yesterday. Definitely want your legal opinion on it. Now, it takes place in Paris. There is a man there. Well, wait a minute.
International law, Kelly.
International again. Come on.
Got to put a caveat in front of this one.
Gracious. I think we've got, we may have two of these three stories coming from somewhere.
You do.
Outside the United States. And Lisa has told us up front her own admission. She cares not a squat about international law. And she basically.
Most boring stuff in the world.
Right. But this is a fascinating case, though, in my opinion. Kristen brought it to us yesterday. A man in France is running what is officially a game center, where you go in and play your video games and whatever else they have there. Parcheesi, whatever it might be. Anyhow, you go in there, but what he's also got are these very, very sophisticated sex dolls, where you pay what is the equivalent of $110 American for 1 hour with the doll, and you can do whatever you'd like with it, you know.
Have some wine and cheese.
Whatever. You know, that's what he's
read poetry.
Yeah. Right.
Look at the Eiffel Tower.
Right. But they're very, very lifelike. And I've seen some pictures of these dolls now. They are quite lifelike and attractive. Man, that sounds weird when I say it.
I wish you were real.
Trying to convince yourself.
Can we have the steno read that last comment back, please?
Says they're very lifelike and
attractive. Did you mean that, Kelly?
No, I didn't. What I meant was lifelike, okay? So, men go in, they do what they do with these sex dolls, all right? So,
Some couples
go in. People are complaining. Many groups are saying, this man's running a brothel here. This is a house of prostitution, which is illegal in Paris, France, as it is most places in the world. He says, oh, no, these are not real women. This is a game center. I'm selling an experience, I guess you'd call that a lifelike experience, but I'm not running a brothel. I'm going to tell you the truth here, Lisa. I agree with him. I don't think that is prostitution. I don't think, for instance, that would be cheating on your wife if you went in.
Where'd that come from? Read that last section back.
I believe those are two different issues.
Yeah. They're very attractive. He mentioned they're very attractive, right?
I'd like that. Both those comments stricken from the record.
Yeah, I see she heard one part of the show yesterday.
Yeah.
That is too cheating. But she's not real.
It's a game center. It's plastic. It's in a game center.
Mm-hmm.
Lisa, when it comes to the law of the land, even though this land is far away, tell us, is this legal or illegal what he's doing? Let's say he was doing this in Dallas, Texas. Would this be legal or illegal in the United States?
Well, this is the future of sort of the exotic entertainment industry. And
could we read that back one more time here?
This is the future.
These silicone dolls. And I looked up photos of them. And they're, you know, these things cost the vendors thousands of dollars.
Ms. Lanier, would you describe them as attractive? Remember, you're on the road.
They're very attractive. Very lifelike and attractive, at least from the photos. And there are two of these places that have opened up. The first two in the world were in Barcelona and in Paris. They opened the one in Barcelona opened first, and it was the same idea. It was originally allowed to open because it does not, on the letter of the law, on the face of it, violate any particular laws. It's not prostitution, but things got a little out of hand at the one in Barcelona, just like it did in Paris, and they shut it down on the principle that it was against public policy, violating public morals and public decency and that sort of thing. So the one in Barcelona has now gone mobile, and so now they rent the doll to you, and you designate a location like a hotel or your home. So they've figured out a way around it. Mm-hmm. And the one in Barcelona charges about $300 for each visit with these dolls.
Wow.
Yeah, so it's roughly American dollars, about $300.
Mm.
So if this happens, you know, if we have this in the United States, you know, there's only one state, Nevada, that allows brothels or prostitution, and only eight counties within Nevada. So, you know, people would argue, like they did there, I'm sure that this is some sort of a brothel, some sort of prostitution, but really it's not. But I think the way that people will get around this and be able to stop these places is simply by zoning.
Yeah.
Because I do think it'll be termed like an exotic, you know, like exotic dance places and whatever. And those are strictly regulated by zoning. And, you know, they can't be so close to a school and they can't be so close to a church. And it basically makes it very difficult to open one of those. And I think you'll see zoning be used to keep those at bay in the United States.
Oh, always with the zoning. Mm-hmm. It's always zoning mm-hmm. that gets you. That's right. Because you're right. By the letter of the law, this is not prostitution. These are made of plastic. These are made of
beautiful, sexy plastic.
Mm-hmm. Sexy silicone.
It's silicone. That's right. These are not real people being sold off. This guy in Paris is really fighting it, though. He's standing his ground for now, anyway. Mm-hmm. But you think he'll wind up just doing what they did in Barcelona?
It seems smart. I mean, the people in Barcelona are thriving. Their business is thriving, and they're charging about three times what the guy in Paris is charging.
Better to do it that way anyway.
And I think Lisa's right. It's the future. Once they get these dolls that the Japanese will invent that are lifelike and can do things for you, that'll be a whole other set of laws.
Oh, so if you're saying that not only—
when they can start to walk and
talk—
because
these dolls are passive.
Yeah, mm-hmm. these are just inanimate objects.
Right.
But when they are— and they can start to interact.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're essentially pillows.
Mm-hmm.
For a long time, I thought, well, that'll never happen. But now that you've seen driverless cars and that kind of thing, I think this thing could be just exactly right.
Hopefully in your lifetime, Kelly.
I'm not saying that. Strike that from the record.
I will be able to mm-hmm. cheat in my lifetime. That's what I got written
there. He's leading the witness. This is leading.
Sure, I'm not going to have to drive a car, and I'm going to be able to have sex anytime I want without cheating.
Note to self, visit Barcelona ASAP.
For our next vacation, the continent. Yeah. Let's travel the continent.
I feel like the kids need some international culture.
We got nothing around here. Mm-hmm. My God.
Defense rest.
All right. Now, we're staying overseas now. We're in Bucharest, where a Romanian court has rejected a man's claim that he's alive, even though he walked into the courtroom and said, I'm alive. He's been missing. He's 63. He's been missing since 1992. And even though he is alive, he missed the deadline to appeal where they had called him dead. He disappeared. Konstantin Rilu lost his case in northeastern Romania because he missed all the paperwork and they had pronounced him dead. And they said, sorry, you're too late. He's like, I'm standing right here. And now he says, I have no income because I am listed as dead. I can do nothing. I guess his whatever would be the equivalent of a social security number or whatever fails to exist anymore. Hmm. Lisa, what can he do to fight this? Could this ever happen in this country?
No, it won't happen in this country. We certainly do have a similar process to what his family did, because this guy disappeared back in 1992. His family never heard from him again.
Right.
No one ever heard from him again. And so they had him declared dead, which then allows families to, you know, collect life insurance and collect Social Security death benefits and things like that in our country. It was similar in their country.
Right.
And so what happened was he comes back, and the one big difference in their country versus ours is they have a time limit and a deadline where if you've been declared dead, you have a certain amount of time, and he missed it. And he's appealed it. As far as he can appeal it, he is out of luck now.
Mm.
We don't have a deadline like that in the U.S. If you can come forward and show that you were either mistakenly or whatever, because sometimes it can be a Social Security error.
Right.
Other times it can be that you were literally declared dead in absentia and you weren't really dead. You just have to show some ID, and they'll reinstate you in the U.S. Social Security will give you back your identity. And that's key. You think about it, you need a Social Security number to do everything.
Yeah, exactly. And wouldn't you think that the countries of Europe or in Romania here, wouldn't you think that they would also get rid of the whole
drop
the deadline, right?
Yeah.
Well, you know, I think it's because probably it's a financial thing. I think probably his family collected some benefits from the government. Now he's trying to collect retirement benefits and that sort of thing. So I think they're kind of saying the benefits have already been paid. You're out of luck.
You got
the hell did he retire from?
Yeah. Well, he's not retired. I guess he wants that money now, and it's already been paid out. That's it, because he's been living away from them.
Couldn't you also go backwards in time and say, look, you haven't paid your taxes for these years?
Yeah, let's have them. But if they declare him dead, he's like, how am I going to pay taxes? I'm dead.
If he's declared dead, I think he gets out of that.
Yeah, he could say that's what he should say. That's right.
Yeah, exactly.
Great story here out of Pittsburgh. I'm fascinated by this one for sure. A divorced couple is battling over whether their 17-year-old son can continue to play football. It's interesting. This kid's played football since he's five. He's had three concussions. So, and I thought the mother would want him not to play. The mother says, I want him to be able to play. His brother goes to Case Western University in Cleveland and is on a football scholarship. His father says, no, it's too risky because of the concussions and doesn't want him to play. So they're going to a judge now to see who has the right to say. And I don't know if the teen wants to play or not. I'm assuming he does. The mom is doing anything she can to get him to be able to play on the high school football team. Who wins in this case if one parent and their divorce doesn't want him to play? What do you think, Lisa?
you know, it's going to come down to the judge's discretion in this situation, and it's a sad situation. The kid has been playing football since he was 5 years old, and his dad was super involved, you know, coaching, going all the games. But he has suffered 3 concussions fairly close together, and the dad has literally watched him already start to have some of the mental decline that you see with concussions. He's starting to be, you know, they said, dad said it was like he would just slump at the dinner table, and, you know, he was not as responsive and lively, and he thinks he's attributing that to these concussions. So the dad said, look, it's your senior year. I don't want you to play. Mm-hmm. And he wrote the principal, and then the mom stepped in because they pulled him. They weren't going to let him play at the school because the dad wrote him and said no. The mom went to the court immediately and tried to get an emergency order. First, that was declined, but then she filed for a change of custody, and the judge decided to hear that. They're going to hear that at the end of this month. And so in the meantime, the kid is playing. I think what the judge will do, because of the kid's age, I think he'll probably say that the kid can decide to play. Because at that age, he's almost 18, judges start to listen to kids even when they're over like 12. So I think he'll listen to the kid who wants to play. Mm-hmm. Typically, though, a judge, if it's just parents disagreeing over, you know, piano lessons or something, typically the court will not require a parent who doesn't agree with an extracurricular to participate in that extracurricular. The only exception to that is like this, where this kid's been doing this his whole life, and both parents have been all in, and now one is suddenly pulling the plug on it. And usually then, with this age, I think the judge will say, let the kid play.
Yeah, probably because he's 17. He'll listen. That's interesting to hear that he'd listen to the teenager. Meanwhile, the father saying that he slumps over at dinner. I mean, he's 17, so it's probably pretty much that's pretty much normal. Yeah, that's what I was thinking. You know, big deal. He doesn't answer my questions. Yeah, so what? Mm-hmm. You know, that's just how it is. I don't know if you can blame the concussions on that.
The teen boy.
Yeah. But you know, if he does get another concussion, and
does the judge say, and what does the mom say?
I mean, how do you feel about that when it's all done? I don't know. It seems like a bad decision to me. If you get 3 concussions in a short period of time, I might be with the dad on that and not let him play. I'm with you. Okay, so interesting cases that divorced parents battle. We think he will be able to play. Court tells man he's not alive. He remains not alive, even though he is. Paris brothel. I'm right. That's not prostitution.
See in
Barcelona.
You
hear that? I'm right.
Not either, right?
I'm not cheating, and she's not a whore. So there.
That's, mm-hmm. That's leading the witness. Lisa Lanier, thank you very much. As always, we appreciate it.
Absolutely. Have a great weekend.
You too.
Thanks, Lisa.
She's our official attorney. You can get her at lanierlawgroup.com.